Now, a new report has revealed that there's been a huge rise in sexually transmitted infections in Ireland over the last year. And to talk all things sexual health, I'm joined now by Dr. Aisling Loy, a consultant in sexual health and HIV. Great to see you, Aisling, and welcome to the show.
Thanks, Catherine.
And again, just for any little ears that are at home, it might be an opportunity to put on something else. We're going to talk lots of adult things. So the figures, as I understand it, they're published. So this is an annual report that comes out. They're published in March every year.
Yes.
So give us an overview of what this year's figures tell us.
Yeah, so they've been increasing year on year from 2019, with a little gap in the middle whenever we had the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
And from 2022 to 2023, overall, there's been about a 31% increase in STIs.
Across the board?
Across the board, okay. Across all STIs, all groups, so in general. There's been some worrying new statistics coming out with regards to especially young women. So in that 15 to 24 age group, we've seen a big increase in particular gonorrhea. So 175% increase from last year to, 2022 to 2023.
And what is that down to?
There's lots of different factors and there's lots of work going on trying to understand
to establish it. Because 170%
increase
In one year.
It isn't just in Ireland. We're seeing that across Europe. Mm-hmm. So it's not just an Ireland specific phenomenon that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of different factors we think driving it. There's a slight increase in testing, but that's not the only reason.
That's what I was going to say, because I know now, and we'll talk about that a little later as well, that we do free STI home kits that get posted out, that's very discreet, and that's happening in Ireland and everybody has access to that. So my understanding then was it has to be that there's more testing done.
Yeah, no. And they're able to tease that out because they can look at where the infections that are coming from the home testing, and they represent about 25%.
Okay.
So it's not only that's driving it up. That makes up a small proportion of the increase.
Okay.
But not all of it. We think, there's some changes in behaviours with regards to young people. So multiple partners. So, having more and more sexual partners.
Mm-hmm.
More variety of sex, so lots more having oral sex, anal sex,
mm-hmm.
Changes in behaviours, absolute discarding of condoms, and I think a lot of that is probably being driven by young people now have a vacuum of education whereby they are operating in a sexual landscape where they're using phones and they're seeing pornography 24/7, they can access it in their pockets now. And that's where they're learning sexual practices. So that's where the education is often coming from. And with that, when they watch the pornography, there's no condoms, generally speaking. So it's become normative behaviour to behave in that way, to have multiple partners, to disregard condoms. We don't know if there's also a change in the actual infection. So that's something that's being looked at as well.
Okay.
Is it becoming
more transmissible?
More transmissible? Mm. Has it more potential to be silent for longer? And then, when we're screening, that people are picking up whenever they become symptomatic.
And I know we hear like chlamydia, gonorrhea, like all of the, I know there was a huge concern over syphilis a few years back as well. But what actually, because we're talking specifically about gonorrhea, so what actually is it?
Gonorrhea is bacterial. It's a gram-negative diplococci, if you get into the microbiology of it. And it is transmitted in sexual fluids, but it can be held in the throat. It can infect the pharyngeal mucosa. And that's a study that is nearly complete, or they've just finished collecting the data, but they're analysing that. And we'll have that later on this year,
mm-hmm.
whereby that home testing service have sent out, as part of a study, to young people taking it, the option to do throat swabs in the heterosexual community. Now, in the MSM community, the men of sex with men community, they always do throat swabs, but mm-hmm. generally speaking, in the heterosexual group, we haven't been doing that because in the past, it wasn't a problem to have gonorrhea in the throat. Mm-hmm. But from studies that were done recently in Northern Ireland, they noticed a big increase in gonorrhea in the throat of young women. So that's something that they're looking at. And we'll have those results later in the year because I think that might be a reservoir of infection that's then increasing the amount of gonorrhea in the young heterosexual community. So that, you know, whenever people have been screened in the past, mm. they maybe haven't had their throat swab, and whether or not that's something we need to introduce. But that has to be driven by actual facts and data. So okay. we'll have that data.
And is it entirely treatable?
It is at the moment. You might hear in different reports about supergonorrhea. And I saw a report from China last week where there's been a big increase in resistant gonorrhea. I think it's up to 8%. Luckily, here in Ireland, we don't have that problem. And we've got very good antimicrobial stewardship, whereby there's a centralised laboratory that looks at how the what we call the MIC creep, which is basically looking at how the gonorrhea responds. So they constantly survey it in the community okay. and check the antibiotics against it.
So when you've got young women, and I know you lots of different people come into you, you're at the coal face of it, you're seeing mm-hmm. on a daily basis. Is there an understanding of the severity of STIs, how they can actually impact women's fertility, how it can impact your life long term? Is there enough information? Is there enough education out there? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I say we all know how not to get pregnant.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And is that still a concern more so than yeah. than the STI?
I think by the time, so when I see them in clinic, they've often Googled a bit and they're in a panic mode, you know, because they've maybe been diagnosed mm. by their GP or by SH24 and been referred in with their STI for further assessment and treatment.
And SH24 is?
Is the free home testing service yeah. that anyone can access. So you type in sh24.ie and you can order your home test kit in a discreet package that gets sent to you. So they'll, at that point, they're maybe more concerned about fertility because they've been diagnosed mm. and they've done some Googling and read. And sometimes at that stage, you're trying to calm them down about it because mm. it isn't a given that you would have fertility issues once you have it. But it's the young people before that, you know, that haven't yet got it or haven't been tested or maybe have the infection, but have, you know, never thought of getting tested mm. because they don't have symptoms. And most of these infections are asymptomatic. So you have absolutely no idea you would have these infections. And they're the ones that aren't concerned. I think there just isn't that education now around it. Because, yeah, as you said, most people are worried about getting pregnant when they're in that age group. So 15 to 24, the main concern is, you know, make sure I'm not going to conceive here mm. rather than making sure that they don't get an infection. Because, you know, and it's maybe 10 years later when they start trying to have a baby that mm. then the problems come out and then their worry shift to that.
And it is difficult because when you say a lot of when it comes to gonorrhea or chlamydia or like a lot of these STIs are non-symptomatic.
Yeah, especially in the young women. So
okay.
for that 175% rise in the young women, there are girls that probably just opportunistically screened because the large majority of those would have absolutely no symptoms. So they tend to be girls who've just gone, you know, oh, my mate and I just saw this come up on Instagram about SH24 and we clicked on it and ordered our test. And they're usually very shocked. Or the other way they'll find out is if, for gonorrhea, men tend to get symptoms. If it's in the urethra, they tend to have this discharge and discomfort. So they tend to get symptoms, whereas the girls, it's silent. So they might have tested because a partner got symptoms after having intercourse.
And I see, I find it interesting because I would say that, you know, in so many areas, young women and men are so proactive mm-hmm. in terms of looking after their health and understanding, you know, whether it's skincare or whether it's whatever. Do you know,
yeah.
they seem to be so educated in so many ways that, like, for example, when is there still a stigma? Do you feel that there's still a stigma going into a sexual health clinic in 100%. This country? Do you?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Everyone's mortified. Like the last piece, probably for people to take off masks after the pandemic is in the STI clinic. You know, after it was okay to take off masks elsewhere, people would still be wearing them there because they're absolutely mortified. Anything that was disguise, you know, that could disguise them being there. So, yeah, no, and it's funny what you said there about they're so educated about skincare and all of that, but it's so different now. It's such a different media landscape because back in my day and your day, you know, we maybe got a lot of our information from places like Cosmopolitan magazine or, you know, you sat down and you had linear media, there is your set TV programmes and whatever came out, you know, it could be a theme on Biker Grove or something like that. And you gradually learned, and there was some education skill, it wasn't great, but... You nowadays, young people create their own media, you know, and so you can live in this absolute echo chamber bubble as a 16-year-old where, you know, on your TikTok logarithm, it is maybe skincare or activewear or, you know, whatever brand that they've ticked on or makeup tutorials. And so it's very hard to penetrate into that, to educate young people unless it's part of their curriculum in school.
That's what I was about to say. So what do we do? I'm just thinking of parents out there. Like I've got two girls who are very young, but you know, like where does it start? It has to come back to education and it has to come back to the school curriculum, really, doesn't it?
I think it does. Like for it to be uniform across the nation, that it's, you know, and that it's factual, that it's proper information, I think it needs to be in the curriculum. And I hopefully there is. I haven't seen the curriculum. I know there is a new curriculum coming out later this year, but hopefully there is that. But then it's who teaches the teachers, you know, where. And I totally get that as a, you know, teachers mightn't feel comfortable. They mightn't feel educated to talk about, you know, HPV virus or herpes virus and how you can get it and what you do and all of that sort of thing, that it mightn't be part of their lexicon. So I don't know whether the answer is, you know, a video that goes around schools that's uniform throughout. It's not for me to say, but I think something needs to be done because at the moment there's an absolute vacuum and kids are operating in this sexual landscape that most parents are totally out of touch with and totally naive about.
And it seems kind of counterintuitive, like when we live in a country now where condoms are readily available. Do we give out free condoms in this country as well?
We absolutely do. Okay. And you can go on the website sexualwellbeing.ie and you can order an envelope of them free, discreetly delivered to your house so they can post them out to you.
The biggest preventative measure in terms of STIs.
Yeah, but just not used. It's just, I mean, it's like an artifact to many young people, a historical, you know, something that should be confined to the museums, I think, as far as they're concerned. Yeah.
And I mean, I like, you know, in the world that we live in now and people are having sex and if people are, you know, experimenting and all, absolutely fine. But in terms of practicing safe sex, that message needs to be reiterated again.
Yeah.
And how do we stack up in Ireland in terms of, like, you know, we have a big Brazilian community here. Mm. We have lots of different countries living here. And I know from reading an article that you did that, you know, you had say there was was it a Brazilian girl who came in and she had met her Irish partner and she was like, this is what we do. We both go in. We both, we're in a relationship now.
Culturally
no
very
problem.
Different.
Yeah. Let's walk in the door. Yeah. And I just thought that was very
It's
telling.
Really interesting because Dublin in particular is a particular melting pot and we've got loads of people from all over the world that come here, you know, to work. You see real cross section of an international community and the different attitudes it's amazing. You know, how people will, especially actually the Brazilians are brilliant at it, to be like, oh yeah, I'm just here for my yearly checkup and there's no embarrassment. It's just something you do and they're really good about it. So whereas in Ireland, it's like, I shouldn't be in a place like this. I can't believe I'm here. This is really embarrassing. I'm only here. I never thought I'd be in somewhere like this, you know, and it's very different, you know, that, you know, whereas I would say, well, if you're in any way sexually active, you should be getting checked.
Here every year. Yeah. What advice would you have for parents, say, who are listening, who maybe would have concerns or who know their teenagers or their teenagers are sexually active? Like, how do you begin to broach the subject?
Yeah, I mean, hopefully you have that relationship with your child already, that they feel not shut down, they feel able to come to you about these things. And I think first you need to arm yourself with the information. So there is that as I said before, the sexual wellbeing.ie website, which is HSE written and promoted. And it's very factual. It lets you know about all the services. There's a lot of NGO support there, you know, depending on maybe if your child's struggling with their sexuality, just to know what, you know, what preventative things, like say the HPV vaccine, some people may need the hepatitis vaccine, knowing about PrEP, pre-exposure prophylaxis, if someone's at risk of getting HIV, and just having that open and honest dialogue, if you're embarrassed about it, to even guide them towards good information online, to say, look, you know, this is a really good, or order a free home test kit and have it there for them. Do you know, it depends how your relationship is.
And just even when you mentioned PrEP there again, it's a reminder of how far we've come, you know, when we're talking about HIV and people living happily with HIV, safely with HIV, and with the the advancement of medication.
Yeah.
And but we have to.
I think we've come so far with the gay bisexual MSM community, and they're a really great group at engaging with sexual health services. And you know, I think the young heterosexuals have been a bit left behind, and we need to pull them up now as well, because we've, you know, done lots with PrEP, with PEP, with, you know, there is the Mpox vaccine that came out, in the last couple of years. So all of that, and they're a really good group at engaging with our services. So I think we just need to bring the rest along.
As you said, back to education,
yes,
back to the curriculum, and back to talking up to our children and our teenagers about sexual health.
Yeah.
And making it part of the conversation.
Yeah.
Aisling, lovely to talk to you today. Thank you so much for coming in. That's Aisling Loy, who's a consultant in sexual health and HIV. Back after this.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.